The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to page 30. It is page 128 of the New Testament. Again, today's words are from Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to verse 30. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. Amen." A little while ago, I read an article about singer Kim Do-young, who put out a new album 14 years after his last one, his previous one. The title song of the album is called The Melancholy Happiness, and Mr. Kim, who is 74 years old, said he composed a song for his silver-haired cohorts. The first part of the lyric goes like this: "I've gotten old while waiting. I've missed all while waiting. I've passed all by while dreaming, the green hours of dreaming." If you look only at this part of the lyrics, you get a sense of very pessimistic and tragic outlook. But the latter part of the lyric goes like this: "The sinking sun at sunset is brilliant again in the morning. This moment I feel, because I'm alive, is so vivid." There's a lot of positivity and hope in these lyrics. Mr. Kim Do-young says this: "The more you are melancholy, you become still. Really, when things are still, that's when one is at peace. There are moments when you lose yourself in just taking in the scenery without any thought while looking out at the horizon. That's the state when you're most happy. Being lonesome itself is so quiet and peaceful, and it's a happy thing, but we mistakenly think that being boisterous and partying is being happy, or having a lot of money and things like that. We feel a deep reflection on life from these words." From 3 years ago, April of 2016, Mr. Kim Do-young had been on a radio program called Myeongdong Love Songs, which plays oldies on Peace Radio Station, which is a Catholic station. When he started airing the program, he said this in an interview as a confession: "I feel like that lost son who has come home. I did whatever I wanted to, as much as I wanted. And now at the end, I feel that God is entrusting me with his work. I'm a bit scared and feel the weight of responsibility." Mr. Kim was baptized as a Catholic 40 years ago, but at the time he was getting popular by the day as a singer and as a composer of commercial songs. He had no room to pay attention to the words of Jesus. When I read this article, I remembered an older interview he gave before he came back to the Lord. Now, the most well-known song by Mr. Kim is "I've Lived Like a Fool," and perhaps this song is better known than him. And the lyric of the song goes like this: "One day I saw my empty heart from the sound of a falling leaf. I felt the fleeting years that have gone by. Have I lost them Am I too late? How great it would be to recover the years gone by. How great it would be. I've lived like a real fool. I've really lived like a fool. Now, Mr. Kim Do-young was the godfather of commercial songs in Korea. And the song about the candy commercial I used to sing, when dad comes, rose after row, when mom comes, rose after row. And the snack commercial song, 맛동산, happy party, let's eat 맛동산 and have a happy party. And the commercial song for the bathroom tissues, Our Puppy Poppy, were all composed by him. It is said that he composed more than 3,000 commercial songs. In particular, the critics have said that the commercial song about a beverage, which goes, I will pluck a star from the sky, I will pluck a moon from the sky, and place them in your two hands, put up the level of commercial songs to a realm of art. When he was at his peak in composing these songs, he said music just popped into his head. When he was at such a high, a question arose inside of him. This is what he said. The music didn't seem to have come from me. I kept thinking that I'm just writing down this music that was flowing from somewhere, and I couldn't help asking where exactly this music was coming from. When his questions became deeper, a person who said he had reached a spiritual enlightenment by training himself in a mountain came to see him. This was 1980. He said Mr. Kim should train himself to do the work that heaven wanted him to do. After hearing this, Mr. Kim followed the man to engage in mind practices for 2 years, but he got the feeling that this wasn't the real, proper way. So with the resolve to turn over a completely new leaf, he built a training center with the teachers of the way he was training with, and he practiced discipline of mind, and he trained for 7 hours every day from 6 p.m. to 1 a.m. for 3 years. After 3 years, he said, he felt his mind becoming pure and peaceful. He even made a recording for prenatal music to help to-be moms and babies. And over 3 million records of this were sold. But his business failed, and when he followed around people who were said to have mystical powers, a lot of bad things happened to him, and he even had moments when he could have died. In 2001, he put an end to the life of trainee of 20 years and began again as a singer. And he said this at the time, enlightenment is living with a clear mind in wakefulness, living as a singer, as a composer of commercial songs, and as a spiritual trainee. And all these were, in fact, undertaking meditation, mind practices, but I didn't know that. If he had continued to live his life the way he did when he went after mind practices, he would have sung this about his life, sadly, when standing before God. I've really lived like a fool. How great it would be to get back the years that have gone by. I've really lived like a fool. I've really lived like a fool. There are people who seem to be more intelligent than others, more capable than others, or more mature than others. But in the most basic sense, everyone is the same. Men are all sinners and are all finite beings, in the same way that a piece of stone by the Han River is just a stone, whether you place it in Yanghwajin Four Missionary Cemetery or on the top of the Hala Mountain. The fundamental nature of a person does not change. A man can never save himself with his own power or reach a state of being whole. This is the declaration that our God has made. Therefore, we can only arrive at salvation through Jesus Christ and wholeness as the children of God through the rightful relationship with God. A few months before reaching the end of his public ministry, Jesus headed towards southern Jerusalem from Galilee, located in the northern part of Israel, by going through Berea at the east side of Jordan River, located in the central region of Israel. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed sown in a vegetable patch, and like a yeast, which is placed in flour to make it rise. After he said this, a person questioned him. This is from verse 23. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" This person was asking, if the person of God is the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard that one cannot even see very well with eyes, and like yeast in flour, then does this mean that there will be very few people who will be saved? The person who asked this question is said to be someone, but Jesus replied, "to them," in plural. It was probably because there were many who thought the same way. To this question, Jesus did not give a direct reply by saying, "there will be only a few who will receive salvation," or "there will be many who will receive salvation." He answered indirectly. This is from verse 24. "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." What Jesus is saying is that what is important is not the number of persons who receive salvation, but whether you are living a life that will lead to salvation. If we were to express this thought through a well-known movie dialogue, it would be, "take care of your own business." Now, I often receive this question. What happens to the people who died before the gospel reached Korea? Do the good people who lived then all go to hell? Younger students sometimes ask more specifically. Did King Sejong or Admiral Yi go to hell? Isn't it unfair to send them to hell who did so much for our country? We must completely, 100%, entrust the matter of salvation of these people in the hands of God. What we are to focus on is making efforts to enter by the narrow gate. The expression, "make efforts," was an expression used to describe how a runner runs with the last drop of his energy to run even a 0.001 second faster to the very end, and how a person fights with all his strength to protect his life, to stay alive in the midst of a battleground where arrows fly and shining sword and spears clash. That we became children of God and people of salvation are wholly the outcome of God's grace and his works. But living a life worthy of children of God and living as saved people are not the same thing. It's not something that can be automatically achieved, like getting into a destination by riding on an escalator or elevator without having to do anything. One becomes more and more whole by continuously denying the self and serving others. And Jesus said this parable. This is from verse 25. "Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.'" In Matthew, Book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 24, there is a metaphor which says that it is harder for a rich man to enter heaven than for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle. Long time ago, there were two gates to the walls that surrounded the city. People, carriages, and carts carrying goods entered by the broad gate, wide gate during the day. And a small gate was used at night. And a big animal like a camel could not go through it. Even for people, one had to lower the head and huddle his body to get through. This was how small it was. And people called it the gate of the eye of a needle. Now, I remember that at the college I attended, not only was there a large front gate where cars can drive through, there also was a small gate called 쪽문, or a dog hole, which was only large enough for a person to pass. This eye of a needle gate was like an emergency exit. When the sun came down, the wide gate was firmly shut against any intruders to the city. And people who could not get inside the city wall in time used this gate. In the Middle East, where there is a severe difference in temperature during the day and at night, if you are not able to get into the city, you could become ill while being exposed to chill at night or even die in extreme cases. This gate was made small so that nothing can pass through it except a person, so that even if a person had traveled on a camel, the camel had to be left behind and only the person could enter it. Therefore, the saying that it is hard for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle came to be, and the metaphor comes from this expression. If the gatekeeper refuses to open the eye of the needle gate, let alone the wide gate, a person would be totally distressed thinking about how he would have to shiver all night outside of the gate. If it were winter, his suffering would multiply. But how utterly one would fall into despair if this kind of thing were to happen when you get to heaven. On this earth, no matter how painful a life may be, it lasts about 80 years. But if you're rejected before the gate of heaven, one is condemned to weep bitterly and gnash one's teeth. The expression gnashing of teeth is meant to describe the utter sadness which is beyond words. Among jokes, there are several jokes about pastors, the pastors who have gone to heaven. Now, when deacons, deaconesses, and elders got to heaven, Jesus welcomes them from his throne. When a pastor came through, Jesus ran on his bare feet to greet him. And so a person complained to Jesus that pastors are getting special treatment even in heaven. Jesus said he did so because he was so happy to see a pastor coming to heaven for the first time in 3 years. And there is a joke which is the opposite of this. When deacons, deaconesses, and elders get to heaven, Jesus comes down from his throne to greet them. But when pastors get to heaven, Jesus greets them while sitting on his throne. Someone asked why, and Jesus said, because I may lose my seat. And yet, in another joke, heaven is a Chinese restaurant. A deacon eats jjajangmyeon. The elder makes the jjajangmyeon. Elders make the jjajangmyeon in the kitchen. And the pastors have gone on jjajangmyeon delivery. But really, it does not matter whether Jesus greets you from his throne or whether he comes down from his seat to greet you. It does not matter whether you go on delivery or you are a janitor cleaning up. Heaven is where the Lord is. What does it matter that you clean toilets forever so long as the Lord asks you to do it? But if you're rejected from entry at the gate of heaven, this is altogether a different story. The text testifies as follows about the response of the people who are rejected by the Lord before the gate of heaven and the Lord's reply to them. Then you will say, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you, or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. The people who were denied entry were not people who had never seen the Lord. At times they had shared meals with him at feasts. They were people who saw how Jesus taught on the streets where they lived. They could have nodded to him on their way or even met his eyes as they passed by. But the Lord not only says he does not know them, but that they are evildoers. This means that they had not lived a righteous life. Or it does not mean that they lived as thugs, wreaking physical violence on others. But they lived a life that had nothing to do with the Lord. In other words, they lived for themselves. And Jesus said something similar to who is recording the text at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. This is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He also speaks of the predicament people may run into. Those who prophesied in the Lord's name are probably people like me, pastors. The people who drove out demons and performed many miracles in the Lord's name probably refers to people whom all acknowledged as those who served the Lord with zeal. But the Lord said to them, away from me. The reason is that they were all evildoers, meaning that they lived lawlessly. And by law, of course, this means the law of God, the words of God. So these people lived passionately, but their zeal was a self-based real zeal, and their lives had nothing to do with the words of God. The people who prophesied in the name of the Lord, who drove out demons in the name of the Lord, who performed many miracles in the name of the Lord, they probably constantly spoke of the Lord every day. The Lord led me thus far. Everything I have, the Lord gave. The Lord is the greatest person in my life. And they probably said many similar things. But the Lord said, he did not know them. A person who does not call Jesus as Lord cannot enter heaven, and people who does not call Jesus as Lord are not Christians. Calling Jesus as our Lord is like the very beginning point of our faith. And so Apostle Paul said, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You can only enter heaven when you call Jesus as your Lord. But calling Jesus as one's Lord is not some magic incantation like open sesame. Apostle James said this, you believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. And in the Gospels we see that an evil spirit recognizes Jesus first and calls out, you are the Son of God. and cries out, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" The evil spirits believed that Jesus was the Son of God, in other words, God, but they didn't believe in him. So when we say Lord, it should not be just a vibration in the air that comes out of our mouth. It should be a confession made with the entirety of our life. The reason Jesus called them evildoers and asked them to go away from him was because their lives were not right. If I were to leave this world and stand before the Lord and say, "Hi, Jesus," and Jesus simply looks at me and says, "Who are you?" how flabbergasted would I be? And so, if I trying to hide how flustered I am were to say, I am Jung Han-jo, and I served at the Lord's church for 8 years and 6 months, and if you know how hard I must have worked, if I served as an education, started out with an education minister and became the senior pastor, right? And I served at the Geneva Korean Church for 6 years, and my initial term was actually not for 6 years. It was 3 years, but I went through a vote of confidence at the end of my first term and continued for another 3 years. And I served at the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church as the pastor in charge of spiritual affairs. And if the Lord were to say, "Well, I know the Lord's church, Geneva Korean Church, and 100th Anniversary Church, but I don't know who you are, Jung Han-jo. Maybe you worked as a pastor, but since I can't remember you, you must have called me Lord, Lord all the time with your lips, but did not live according to my words. There is no way that I won't remember you if you lived according to my words." How devastated I would feel. According to verse 24, the persons who will face predicament on the last day are people who came and went by the broad gate rather than the narrow gate, so that we will not face such a predicament. The Lord tells us to make all our efforts to enter through the narrow gate. For all of us, there will come a day when we will stand before the Lord. Until we breathe during the span of our life permitted to us, and when that breath is over, we will see the Lord face to face. If at that time we tell the Lord, "We ate and drank with you, and you taught at our streets," and the Lord says to us, "I don't know where you come from. Away from me, all of you." What song would we be singing then as we weep bitterly? "I've really lived like a fool." How great it would be to get back the years that have gone by. "I've really lived like a fool. I've really lived like a fool." The accounting of our lives will happen at the end, but the preparation for it happens every day. There is a saying that after 40, one is responsible for one's own face. Now, this saying does not mean that you must start taking care of your face after 40, but that the life you have lived will appear plainly on your face when you get to be that age. To live as a Christian means to enter through the narrow gate. So it is a really lonely road. So we Christians must help and encourage each other to travel down this way. Even the way of faith is fundamentally like this. People have introduced the way of faith as a broad gate, a broad way, an easy way, as a way to really enjoy success in life in order to get others to accept Jesus easily. This became the first misstep taken by the Korean church that led to its ceasing to become the true church-like church. So many Christians, rather than longing after the kingdom of heaven, are completely absorbed in creating their kingdom, which is soaked in worldly values by borrowing the power of the Lord. People who are built together in the Lord and enter through the narrow gate, live out God's kingdom in all aspects of their lives, can be happy, although they may be lonesome, and feel their vitality with all their beings in the mornings. And moreover, one can put an end to the life that makes one sing, "I really lived like a fool." And there will not be a reason to weep bitterly when we get to that place. Let us not forget that how we appear in the last scene is being prepared by us now. Let us pray. Father God, when we look back on our lives, there are times when we confessed, "I really lived like a fool." At times we think it is possible for us not to live a life of a fool, purely based on our abilities. Thinking this way, we walked and ran from early morning to late at night. But we confess that a life made on our own without you only amount to regrets and sighs. Help us not to make the mistake of thinking that the vibration in the air as we call out, "Lord, Lord," with our lips amount to any kind of faith. May we acknowledge you as our Lord with our life and obey your words. The longer we live, what we regret the most are not the things we didn't get to have or things we didn't get to achieve, but that we were not as righteous as we could have been, that we were not as faithful as we could have been. We could have been more loving to our families and people around, but we failed in doing so. More than anything, what bothers us the most is that although we confess that we are your children, we fail to live on as such. Father God, help us to become built together. Help us to enter the narrow gate, obey your words, and walk with you. When the years end, when our life ends, when we stand before you after breathing our last breath permitted to us, may we not sing, "I really lived like a fool," but that the Lord was with me so that I could pass through dark valleys and cross rough seas to get into the heaven's door. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.